She had plenty of reasons to be terrified. She wasn't supposed to be there. But she was desperate. Desperate for help. Desperate for healing. But she wasn't supposed to be there in the crowd, sneaking through, trying just to touch the hem of his coat. Surely if she could touch even that, she would be healed. Surely. But she wasn't supposed to be there. And if she got found out, she was in trouble. Culture and custom said that she wasn't supposed to be there. Social courtesy said she wasn't supposed to be there. The law said she wasn't supposed to be there. Leviticus 15. If a woman has a flow of blood for several days outside her monthly period, or if the flow continues beyond her regular period, she remains unclean as long as the flow continues and for 7 days after it stops. Anyone who touches her is unclean until evening. Anyone who touches anything she has touched will be unclean until evening. She's been bleeding for 12 years. She has been ritually unclean for 12 years. For 12 years, anyone she touches has been rendered ritually unclean until evening. If she touches someone, they are prohibited from having social contact with anyone else for the rest of the day. For 12 years, she has been persona non grata. She was supposed to stay home and avoid contact with anyone for 12 years. She wasn't supposed to be out in public pushing her way through a crowd trying to touch Jesus or even the hem of his garment. She had plenty of reasons to be terrified and plenty of people to be terrified of, including Jesus when she made him unclean. How many of us are like her, sneaking around with their heads down, afraid to be recognized, desperately hiding the truth about ourselves for fear of being shunned and isolated, for fear of being looked on as filth, desperate to find some cure, some relief, but terrified of what it would take to lay hold of it? She pushed her way through the crowd, face hidden, name unknown, taking her chances. It was only a momentary opportunity. Jesus was in a hurry. This was no time to interrupt him. He was on a mission of mercy, dealing with an emergency. A little girl was dying. There was not a moment to lose. She was 12 years old. For 12 years, she had been healthy and happy. For 12 years, she had grown up as the precious daughter of one of the most important men in the town. For 12 years, she had had everything. But now her life was hanging by a thread. This was no time to interrupt Jesus. He had more important business to attend to. He had a little girl's life to save. If I can just touch the edge of his coat as he hurries past, surely that will be enough. Surely that will make me better. So she did. She pushed through the crowd and touched his coat as he hurried by. And immediately she felt the bleeding stop. She had been right. She was healed. The disease was gone. No more feeling anemic and lethargic. No more hiding in the shadows, avoiding everyone. She pulled the scarf around her face and slipped back into the crowd. She had what she'd come for, and she was off. No harm done. No one had recognized her. No one knew that someone unclean had touched them in the crowd. She'd just melt back into the crowd and slip off home. "Who touched my clothes?" Jesus has stopped. Like an ambulance driver stopping for lunch on the way to an emergency, Jesus has stopped. Who touched me? Jairus is pulling on his arm. Who cares who touched you? Come and save my daughter, quick, before it's too late. Who touched me? She froze in fear. She'd been found out. Busted. She meant no harm. She was desperate. She'd been careful not to interrupt, not to get in the way. But now she was going to be exposed. Now the game was up. She had plenty of reasons to be terrified. She was not supposed to be there. She fell to her knees at Jesus' feet, shaking like a leaf, and fessed up. She knew she was in for it, and there was nowhere to hide. He knew. Somehow, he knew. But he reached out his hand. Daughter, you took a risk of faith and it has paid off for you. Welcome back to the world of the healthy. Shalom. May peace, health and happiness be yours. May your illness be gone for good. She hasn't been shunned at all. She has been touched by one who knew why she was supposed to be untouchable. She has been lifted to her feet and patted on the back. She has been commended in public. She has been given his blessing. She has been offered healing beyond her wildest dreams. Social healing, emotional healing, public acceptance. How often are we just like her? How often can we not see beyond the little bit of something that will make life more bearable? How often are we only too willing to settle for overcoming the main symptom and then slip back into the crowd without daring to imagine what more there could be? How often do we look for nothing more than that from Jesus and from his body, the church? A little bit of something to make us feel a little bit better. A little touch to get us through the week. How often do we think that we are not worth anything more than that? Surely God has got more important things to do, more important people to attend to. Surely there's a 12-year-old girl somewhere dying of hunger or disease who warrants God's attention much more than me. Who are we to expect God to stop and take notice? So we just slip through the crowd for a little touch to make life more bearable, and then we want to slip off again, unnoticed, unimportant, unchallenged, unblessed, our masks still in place, fear and shame and loneliness still wrapped tightly around us. But Jesus thinks you are worth a whole lot more than that. Nothing is more important than you. There is nothing else that matters so much that Jesus would pass you by and leave you to fend for yourself. Jesus is not content to see you just get a little touch to make you feel a little better. He wants to see you healed and whole, strong and confident, accepted and loved. He wants to do more than just close your wounds and stop the bleeding. He wants to lead you into a wholeness that you couldn't have imagined and a fullness of life beyond your wildest dreams. And if you slip off into the crowd, he will be left there with a tear in his eye, still asking, "Who touched me?" because he reckons that you are worth waiting for. And he has got so much more that he wants to give you. He wants you to follow him, to dance with him, to learn from him, to share life and love and joy and suffering with him. He wants you to lay aside your fears, your shame, your isolation, to lay aside the only self you may have ever known, and to follow him into the wide open spaces of God's love and mercy. Christ won't force you. When the bread is broken at this table, you can reach out your hand and touch him and slip back into the crowd, strengthened to get through the week, but without staying to find out what else Jesus might be asking of you and what he might be offering you. And if you do that, you won't be punished or exposed, but Jesus will still be asking, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" And longing to give you all that he wants you to have, longing for you to accept the gift of his very self. But if you will stop, if you will fall to your knees before him and offering him yourself in trembling truthfulness, then he will offer himself to you and open himself to you so that you might be healed by his brokenness and drawn into his wholeness and raised to new life, to fullness of life, and be reconciled to him and in him to the glory of God and the joy of all the earth.